Look, I'm in trouble now. Am I supposed to make an opening announcement here? No. I have no interest. None. Have at it, guys.
Dave, what was kind of your level of involvement in the Giants drafts, as the pro personnel guy?
As a pro guy, basically, I was in the room. I sat through the draft meetings. sat through the draft meetings. And I watched tape on my own, did all that video work on my own. And on draft day, I was in the room handling the trade phone. So that was basically it. Jerry would have me look at guys on occasion. There were times where he'd say, listen, look at this position. But, and I'd, behind closed doors, give him my opinion.
How much more prep work have you done for this draft as GM
than those years?
Well, obviously considerably more, really. It was funny. One of the advantages I had coming in, you hit the ground running. I was a pro guy, so, the free agency, unrestricted free agency wasn't a big mystery for me. So that was really a nice entree into it. This obviously, before I started looking at tape and match, that's my first view. I'd like to think after 28 years, I have a pretty good idea of who can and what's playing in the league. So it allows me to pick and choose who I need to look at. Obviously, I'm going to look at all the top prospects. We've been in meetings since last Thursday and every day and had some great conversations. And we've been through the whole board now with the scouting staff and with the coaches. Coaches have had plenty of input. And as a matter of fact, this afternoon, we'll start watching tape on guys where there's a little bit of difference of opinion and guys that are clustered together. We'll take a look at them and try to sift through it and try to get a little spread and really see where they line up. So we'll do that for a couple days.
How does the decision-making process work? When it comes down to making the pick, is it your call or is it, have input from, do you have the final say in everything?
Yes, I do, Steve. I've got final say, but, it's not one person can't do this now. The volume is huge. You've got college scouts that have been on the road for 9 months, and you have to give them their input. The best thing I can do is listen, because really I said this when we first started the draft meetings. What the draft is all about, it's not about who's right, it's about getting the guy right. He's not my guy, he's our guy, and that's the biggest thing I do. Obviously, as you guys know, I haven't looked at the volume of college guys that the area scouts and Donnie Gregory certainly has looked at. So my responsibility, the best thing I can do is just listen to what people are saying. Then once the conversation ends, it's okay. This is what you're saying to me. Now let's start asking the questions. Does he fit? Does he upgrade us? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that right now is a lot of what I'm doing. I've looked, like I said, I believe me, I've looked at a ton of tape. it's certain. It's just a matter I have more work to do for my own. And I'm going to go with my instincts, with what I feel is going to make us better. Who I feel is going to make us better. And so that's really where it is.
Obviously, you cannot hit a home run on every draft pick, but what is, in your mind, both for this team specifically this year, but in general, is what would you consider a successful draft in the NFL?
Well, in the NFL, really and truly, especially the last 2 years, Scott, where there's just so many kids coming out. There was 77 juniors declared. Certainly not all of them are players, but the point is the volume. And, last year you were getting kids with starter ability, maybe not ready to walk on the field now, but you were getting starter ability players in the third round. We got, we meaning the Giants, got Jaron Hosley, the Connor out of EPI. This kid's talented now. That was at the bottom of the third. So, in the dream world, we've got 5 picks this year. There's no reason to believe we can't get starters in the first 2 rounds. there's no reason to believe that the 4, 5, and 6 can't contribute in some way, shape, or form. And that's something we've really thoroughly discussed as a, you know, as a group, meaning the scouts and the coaches. You know, who fits us? You know, what are we looking to do? You know, in terms of personnel, which guys can be seamless fits? Now, their value as a player has to be there. You're not going to take a guy just because he fits and he can't run or he can't, you know, there's a major flaw. But you're gonna look at that, because I've seen it over and over again. When you draft guys, especially in the first two rounds, that really don't fit you philosophically, you're going to get into trouble. Does that answer your question?
Where are you on the debate, best player available or fill for need?
You know, I feel like with free agency, we've positioned ourselves so that – let me back up. I'm sorry. I firmly believe in the best player available. I feel like we've positioned ourselves in free agency well enough, given what we had to deal with, that we are in that position. And that's what I'm looking for. We're going to take the best player that fits us at that time.
What can you say about positions that you think this team could go after, needs?
Well, you know, it's, again, you know, Scott, it's, you know, so much of, excuse me, I'm sorry, so much of a team's needs is outside perception, all right? People sit there and say, okay, this guy isn't very good, that guy isn't very good. The disadvantage that the outside people have is they're not at practice. They don't watch the development of a young kid. The perfect example is Victor Cruz. You know, you think about it. You know, we could see that coming. You could see the development. The kid had terrific hands. He had that great quickness. He needed route work. He needed to learn how to play. But the bottom line is we saw that potential there, and, of course, we're up there and we're getting killed. You don't have any wide receivers. You know, so it's – and I'll tell you guys this. Oftentimes the answer is on your roster. Mob Levy taught me that. Whether it's you're looking to fill a coaching spot, whether you're looking to fill a director's position, and obviously on the field, oftentimes the answer is on your roster. And you've got to, you know, you've got to look at that. I mean, you have to consider it. And unfortunately, sometimes you get bogged down in things and you don't. But there are some young kids on this team that haven't played on Sunday yet, some young talented kids that I can't wait to get to camp.
Along those lines, Dave, a lot of folks on the outside look at your secondary. You had to cut Gamble, some issues at safety last year, and think that that's got to be an area that you address in the draft. Do you think you'll do that early in the draft, or is that an area where you're talking about some of these young kids?
It's a little bit of both, Joe. You know, it's certainly a consideration. I'm not going to say it's not. You know, if there's a great whatever at staring us in the kisser, we're going to take them. All right. The bottom line is, you know, I'll take Josh Norman for example. I mean, you guys were here. You know, he had a play. He struggled. Ron benched him. The kid that came back was a different kid. He has talent now. You know, he's a fifth-round pick. He's got talent. It's, you know, it's up to us to develop these kids. You know, we have to select the right fits and with an NFL skill set, NFL physical tools, and then it's up to us to develop them in. You know, if we don't, shame on us. You know, so, you know, to answer your question, we felt like we addressed some issues. You know, free agency starts, we don't have a nickel. Now we got three. All right. And none of those three are throwaways by him. I mean, they're all talented people. You know, Drayden Florence is a big, can move inside, and he can play the nickel if we need him to. Captain is... His qualifications are already out. You guys are well aware of his qualifications. And the kid we signed, DJ Moore, I mean, 10 picks in 3 years with, you know, not as much play time. You know, ain't too shabby. So, you know, it's everybody's looking for the you know, we're all looking for great players, but a lot of times they're there in raw form, and you got to develop them.
What you see on the roster, and you know, when you talk about like practice and guys who developed, as you approach this draft, what would you say are your top three needs position wise?
Top three. You know, maybe you guys think I'm Pollyanna, but I don't see any major hole here. I mean, not after what we've done in free agency. The young kids have to continue to improve, you know, and that's all of them. The veterans have to pick up where they left off. You know, it's funny, and I think I talked about it before. When you walk into a situation with it, you know, obviously I'm here because things weren't going as well as Mr. Richardson wanted. That's obvious. And you have to look at the way teams finish. You really have to look at it. And you have to be careful you're not looking at fool's gold. 1-5 out of the last six out of the last 10. Is it real? Is it a mirage? And after watching the tape, and given the circumstance that team was in, for them to finish like that, including the come-from-behind win against Nolens down there when they had finally got their tracks on, I don't think it's fool's gold. I really don't. I mean, you guys will write about the record of the record in the last 2 years with 8 points or less. You know, you go 500 on those games, you got two playoff teams. So you really have to be careful and not just, you know, throw a blanket on and say, clean it up.
Chronicled how it's been like for you in the past on draft day as a part of the room. Now that you are in the position that you've waited for such a long time, has this been something that you've really enjoyed, just the whole journey, the experience?
I've had a lot of fun. I'm having fun. I really am. It sounds crazy, but... You know, it's kind of interesting. The first press conference I ever did was when you guys saw me and I'm crying. The next press conference is at Indianapolis, and the guy, it was really kind of funny. About halfway through it, the guy says to me, "Dave, how many of these have you done?" I said, "Well, counting this one too." You know, he looked at me and he said, "Well, you seem so comfortable up there," and I said, "It's just a conversation." You know, that's all it is. So to answer your question, you know, these are things that, you know, I was a college scout for 11 years. I'm a pro guy for 15. I've sat in 26 draft rooms. I've seen it. I've watched it. And I've always sat back and said, okay, what are you going to do if you get the opportunity? And I've done those things. And I think the process has been terrific. There's been great communication. There's been great conversation about players and what we're looking for and those types of things. And I'm having a ball.
You guys got 5 picks currently. Is there an active desire to get more?
You know, obviously getting more picks would involve trading down at every spot. Okay. You got to be careful because – you could talk yourself out of a really good player. I've watched teams drop from the top 10 to the 15th, to the bottom of the first, to the top of the second, for what? Okay, do you want a dollar or do you want 3 dimes? I don't know. I take the buck. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful. You know, after the Manning trade, up in New York, we had a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 7. The 2 was Corey Webster. The 3 was Justin Tuck. The 4 was Brandon Jacobs. And I'm drawing a blank on the 7th, but he stuck with us for about 3 years. Not too shabby. See, you know, you can't knee-jerk. And, you know, would I like to have a third-round pick? Sure, I would. But where we are now, we're looking at good players enough in those first 2 rounds. We're going to have a selection of quality NFL ready players to select.
How firm is your draft board right now? I know you guys are still...
We're still massaging. You know, we're... Like I said, right now we're finally through the readings. This afternoon we will start watching video on the guys that, you know, are real close together. We're trying to separate them a little bit, make sure we got them in the right order. We'll do that this afternoon. We'll do it all day Friday. What's today? Thursday. Yeah. We'll do it all day Friday. And then Saturday we'll start massaging the board, working the horizontal aspect of it. And we'll do that for a couple of days. We'll have mock drafts like everybody does. And we'll be ready to go.
How many guys did you bring in, Dave?
I'm sorry.
On visits.
UFAs? The visits?
The draft.
Oh, yeah. We used 28 of our 30. We used 28 of our 30. We kept two spots open just in case of a guy needed a physical. All of us, you know, something might have shown up all of a sudden. So we wanted to leave that open. And the guy that we maybe needed to, you know, all of a sudden we've got a character problem issue on him. So we used 28 of the 30.
You bring them in, guys who are projected all up and down the draft.
Yep. We spread it out.
With the commitments in your backfield, are you of the philosophy that you want to keep the line stout? And you've talked about developing players. I mean, a lot of people say if your commitment is to the quarterback and the running backs, you want to keep those guys safe. I mean, how do you deal with that with offensive line draft picks?
Well, again, you know, you guys heard me. I can't, you know, it's on record. Big men allow you to compete. You know, so we're certainly going to look at the big hog mollies. And, you know, we have an interest in those guys. You know, those big guys are line of scrimmage changers. The year we went, meaning the Giants, went to the Super Bowl the last time, excuse me, we needed a center. Sean had gotten hurt late in the year, and the medical was bad on him, and we just didn't feel he's going to be able to come back. I mean, you know, 33 years old with a bad, you know, two bad ankles. And we looked at, you know, free agency, and also looking at our schedule, we're staring at that point in time, we had 8 games against 3-4 teams, and we were going to play the best noses in the business. We were going to see Wilfork. We were playing, you know, San Francisco that year with Sopoaga. I mean, we're playing, so, you know, we had the AFC East, so we're going to see the, Soliati from Miami. I mean, we're going to see some noses. You got to have power in there. So that's why we went out and got the San Francisco kid, Bass. You know, David Bass. Bass, you know, B-A-A-S. But anyhow, we went out and got David, and David, once he got his feet underneath him, I mean, that power that he had, he can handle a nose by himself. You don't have to help him out. And that's huge. Guys that are heavy-bodied, line-of-scrimmage changers are big for the team.
Hey, go ahead.
We didn't get a chance really to talk to you about free agency. Looking back at free agency, a lot of the guys that you brought in are signed to one-year contracts. Can you talk about the reasoning behind that and just talk about free agency in general and how you feel like you did?
Excuse me, guys and ladies. The free agency landscape has changed. It really has. You know, they all want, you know, who doesn't want to get paid big money? So what happens is you've got guys that would rather take the one-year deal and take a chance and do it all over again. The danger for them from a personal level is that they become gypsies. So, you know, if you offer a guy a two-year deal and he doesn't want it, but you know he can help you win, you do the one-year deal. You know, they, it's tough out there. You know, trying to craft and get these guys fit in. There are a couple other guys we would like to have had. We just, you know, couldn't craft a deal that made them happy. So they went elsewhere. But
same place here, Dave, where you offered guys two and they said, no, I'd rather have one.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, Joe. And we signed them. You know, they would rather do the one. Is it healthy? I don't know that yet. You know, if you have a quality core in the building, you know, and you make sure you bring in quality players from the outside, you know, like a Chase Blackburn, like a Dominic Hickson. you know, guys that are pros that have been there that know how to prepare and have jewelry, you know, and you know they're going to be what you want them to be and show some young guys the way, you know. You'd like to have those guys, you know, as long as you have enough of those guys and you bring in guys like Chase and Dominic, you'll be fine. It's tough, though. I mean, do you wish it was the old days where you had 35 guys year after year after year? Yeah, who doesn't? You know, you take that Buffalo Bills team I was with, and my gosh, they go to 4 Super Bowls in a row. And just a tremendous group of people. But you can't do that anymore. It's just the nature of the beast.
And the big bodies, that the experts say this is a very deep defensive tackle class, and I think they like the offensive tackles too. Your take on each of those drafts?
You know, the defensive tackle group is deep. It's deep. There's some really talented kids out there, to answer your question. The top three offensive guys, I mean, the way it's, you know, if you believe what you read, those three guys are going to be gone in the top 10, 12 picks. I mean, you know. But, you know, those top three are talented. But that defensive tackle group is deep.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, Dave, on just where you specifically think this draft is the strongest position-wise and weakest?
I think your D-line group is weak. It's strong. I meant to say deep. I think your defensive line group is deep. I think your defensive backfield group is deep. I think those are the, and probably the next group might be the offensive line. So I think those are the deepest groups.
Does that jive pretty well with what you consider some of your needs?
Let's just say I'm not angry.
The Wonderwood scores have been released lately. I was just kind of curious. How much stock do you put into those? What do you think of the Wonderwood?
Okay. The Wonderwood test score can be very deceiving. All right, it's an intelligence test, and it's also a reading test. If you don't read well, you won't score high. So you have to be very careful. All it is somewhat of an indicator. And that's why if you have concerns, Joe, getting back to how many guys we brought in, if you have concerns about a guy's learning, bring him in. Spends 4 hours with the coaches. They put him on the board. They spend time with him. And you can make a better indication and make a better decision on whether that is. One lick test scores are, they're an indicator of sorts. You know, but it's just part of the process. You know, you're not going to draft a guy based on a one-lick test score or else you're taking everybody out of the Ivy League. You know, you're not going to do it. You know, it's just part of the process.
With your history and talent evaluation and being a scout and everything, the meetings with your scouts, are you noticing maybe that those guys are a little more on edge because they know that they're dealing with a guy who's been in their shoes and done it for so long?
They've been terrific. Not at all. You know, excuse me, you know, they, you know, it's like anything else. A new guy in town and, you know, what can I say, what can't I say? And, you know, I've encouraged them and, you know, five, six days in, the conversation got pretty freewheeling. You know, it's, You can't have a thin skin in that room now. That is not for the faint of heart. Because it's opinion, and it's whatever. And some guys, you know, guy feels very strongly about a player, and two or three other people in the room don't feel as strongly, and now his guy's getting beat up and pushed down. But the conversation has been terrific. I mean, we really have I think Marty put together a heck of a scouting staff. I really do. Don Gregory is extremely thorough, extremely thorough. And the information that they've come back with, especially the background stuff, has been absolutely terrific. And, you know, on the money, not just, oh, so-and-so told me this, so I'm going to write this down. There's investigating going on. And the evaluation process, you know, the group's been together for a while, and You know, if you look at the Panther drafts, you look at the back end of those drafts, they found players now. You look at the back end of the past four Panther drafts. There are players from those drafts in the still wearing uniforms and on the field playing. Not just hanging around collecting a paycheck. So I feel great about the scouting staff. I really do. And they've been very, as they get more comfortable with me, they've really let it out. You know.
Did you, when you signed Drayton Florence, do you expect him to be a starter, at least compete for starting?
Yes. Yes.
How little has Mr. Richardson been involved with you since hiring you?
Oh, he's been involved. He's been involved. You know, he's a blessing. You know, it's, you know, his wealth of, it's the wisdom, Scott. It's the wisdom of what he's seen as a businessman over the years, the wisdom of having been in football for his whole, really his whole life. You can't put a price tag on that kind of wisdom. And again, we're both very direct, straightforward. Here we go. And my meetings with him don't last long. And because we get to the point, he's got a lot of things on his plate, and I got my share, and let's keep going. But he's a blessing, believe me.
That number 14 pick, just so we're sure, I mean, are you content to stay there, or are you looking to move up or down with that first pick?
To be right on point, I'm not talking myself out of a bad player. For us to move up is going to cost us draft picks. We've only got 5 now. We've only got 6 next year.
Have you brought in anybody else to the front office, or is it pretty much just came
just
in?
As I came in? I'm telling you, there's a real quality group of people there. I told you guys the last time we were together, I hit the lottery. I'm telling you.
Changing gears a little bit, just your emotions Monday when you saw or read or heard about what happened in Boston.
You know, it's funny. Things like that have been going on overseas for years. And now 9/11 comes, you know, Oklahoma City before that. And it's happening more frequently now, Newtown, this. Are we 100% sure that the Waco explosion last night wasn't whatever? We don't know. It's man's inhumanity to man. It's scary. It's very scary.
Hi, everybody good?
All set?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good